The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
The United States is withdrawing personnel from bases in the Middle East, according to a US official, after a senior Iranian official said Tehran had warned neighbours it would hit American bases if Washington goes ahead and strikes. Tehran is seeking to deter US President Donald Trump's repeated threats to intervene on behalf of anti-government protests. The UN Security Council has been due to meet on Iran today at the request of the United States. Well, Ali Ansari is Professor of Iranian History and Founding Director of the Institute for Iranian Studies at the University of St Andrews, and he joins me now. You're very welcome to the programme, Ali. So from your own knowledge, your own research, and maybe whatever connections you might have in the region, do you have a sense now that the protests have almost fully subsided, as has the crackdown that followed?
Not at all, actually. I mean, what I find quite striking is the protests are still simmering away, and they're obviously taking different forms. I think the sort of mass protests that we saw last week have probably died away, largely because the crackdown has been so savage, actually. I mean, I think few of us, including myself, could have really foreseen the extent to which the repressive forces of the government were going to get to work. I mean, we're now estimating at least 5,000 dead. So it's really been quite shocking, but it's been so shocking, actually, that I think there's a lot of anger, a lot of distress and a lot of trauma in wider Iranian society. And we're already still seeing, for instance, when funerals are happening or, other sort of commemorative events, that people are still chanting against the regime and still protesting. It shows, I've got to say, a tremendous amount of courage. And I think the clearest indication that things are not settled yet is that the internet blackout is apparently due to run for another 2 weeks. So they've either got a lot of tidying up to do, or, you know, things are still simmering away.
Yeah, I know you mentioned 5,000 dead, and I saw reports on Newsnight last night that number could be anywhere between 12,000. Another person who was contributing to the programme speculated that it could be 20,000 people who've been killed. Have you heard that as well? Obviously, it's impossible to verify at this stage.
It's, again, I'm, you know, at the cautious end. I mean, the government itself has admitted to 3,000, and if the government's admitting to 3,000, then we could probably comfortably double that. But, you know, figures and stories are coming out now, and this is what they're very worried about. Of course, they need to control that narrative, and of course the opposition are going to try and, you know, ensure that, you know, the real story comes out. I mean, the doctors that have come out and have been talking about what's been happening in hospitals, the nature of the injuries, it's not simply those that have died, it's also those that have been very badly injured. They've been shooting to blind, for instance. I mean, it's pretty extraordinary. And I never thought in my own lifetime I would see any Iranian state behave with quite so much savagery against its own people.
In terms of Donald Trump, he does seem to have lowered the tone of his rhetoric. He said he is believing for now that the executions have stopped, but many people believe they've just been postponed. They're not off the table completely. Do you think that he is calling their bluff in any way, that he is planning an attack, or is he hoping that basically the threats that he has put out there, that he will go in, plus his very unpredictable behaviour recently and the fact that he feels so emboldened about what happened in Venezuela, that he's just hoping that that brings him into line, at least in the short term?
Well, I mean, I think the regime itself is probably very anxious in the short term not to get involved in an extra crisis with the United States. So it will do what is necessary to put him off. I think there's a degree of unpredictability there, of course, on the American side. We don't really know also what Trump is thinking from day to day. But at the same time, I think we ought to note that, you know, certain things have been, you know, some personnel are leaving the region. We know, for instance, a number of embassies in Tehran have closed, the British embassy being one of them. We also know that an aircraft carrier group is probably moving into the region. Now, whether that actually means that he's going to take any military action, you know, who knows? But as you sort of say, I mean, I don't think these executions, for instance, have been stopped. I think it's basically an attempt to defer and to postpone and whatever, and to take the heat out of the situation. But you know, it's not one, as I said to someone, I said, I don't think either side is going to honour that promise. I mean, I can't see executions not being continued at some stage or even other killing. And at the end of the day, I think Trump will be forced to do something.
Yeah, I mean, many people now feel that the regime has been incredibly weakened given what's happened throughout these protests, the international response, and indeed the economy and the economic conditions that have led to these protests in the first place. And that really it's a matter of when, not if, the regime is toppled at this point. What do you think will need to change in order for that to happen? Is it the US trying to target the security apparatus around the regime so that they turn away from the regime? Or is it sort of more global sanctions so that unfortunately that economic squeeze continues and that in itself would lead to more unrest from local people in Iran?
Well, I mean, I think you make a very good point there as well, that, I mean, these protests are symptomatic. I mean, they're not the cause of the problems Iran has. The underlying problems are largely economic. They're also environmental, by the way. We don't talk enough about the environment really in Iran, but there's a water catastrophe going on. Here you have a country with some of the greatest resources, natural resources in the world, you know, oil, gas, minerals, whatever, and yet it can't supply these basic materials to its own people. So I think if the Americans take some sort of military action, it could accelerate the demise of the regime. I mean, some people argue that it might encourage a bit of national solidarity. I don't see it myself, but, you know, that's always a possibility, depending what the Americans do. But at the end of the day, the problem the regime has is that the underlying economic equation is not good for them. This has not made it any better. And, you know, if you look at the currency collapse, for instance, which is what triggered the latest round of protests, well, the currency is still sliding. So it's
and know, actually
it's
the situation
problem.
Has made it much worse because now we see further sanctions coming from the US and the EU.
Yeah, and that's the problem. I mean, Iran is very, very heavily sanctioned. I mean, it's not clear what else could be done. I think some symbolic things could be done. But, you know, some of these sanctions on oil could be more rigorously enforced. But the fact is that the greatest problem of the, you know, of the regime is poor governance. I mean, they've just made such a meal of managing the country. And the only thing they have left, I mean, as people say, you know, is to shoot their own citizens. Now, you know, some people will see this as a sign of strength. You know, I tend to think that if you have to shoot 5,000 people at the very minimum, that doesn't sound to me as if you've got a good handle on things.
What is the likelihood of changing the security apparatus around the regime, of changing their mind and of moving them so that they move against the regime? And how could that be done?
Well, I mean, it's quite interesting. One of the things that the US Treasury has suddenly sort of revealed is that there's a capital flight out of the country. Now, assuming that's true, and I have no reason to think that it's not true, that people are starting to move assets out, and particularly some regime insiders and some people quite high up in the regime. And then, you know, you can get to a situation where the security apparatus is basically saying, you know, what are we defending here? You know, what are we protecting when they're all getting the hell out? And I mean, the problem I think they have, the security apparatus, is quite a simple one, really. I mean, they're now all complicit, or many of them are complicit in murder. And, you know, they must also be aware that if the regime does fall, and most people assume that, you know, something is going to happen, the direction of travel is not good, that they will be the first, you know, people to feel the anger of the general populace. So there are going to be pressures on a number of them about whether they need to come to a, you know, whether they need to cut their own deal before it's too late. So, I mean, I think there's all sorts of pressures on them. And I do, you know, warn people who are, you know, basically saying, oh, well, we haven't seen any fractures in the elite, or, you know, the security services have remained united. Yes, so far they have. And it's shown, you know, it looks quite robust. But I think there's probably behind the scenes a lot of anxiety going on about what this all means, because once people see, you know, the nature of the casualties and what's happened, I think there's going to be a lot of doubt and paranoia and anxiety and worry. And you probably will start to see some defections coming from parts of the elite, actually.
What form of intervention from the United States do you think would be most helpful for those people in Iran at this point?
I think, to be honest, in some ways, you know, I think that what Trump has been doing in terms of the seizure of tankers, the illicit oil sales, pressure on the, you know, the economy and basically suffocating the flows of income is in some ways the most efficient way of doing things, and in some ways the most predictable, if I can put it that way. I mean, the thing with a military strike, which I know a lot of Iranians are probably more in favor of it now. I mean, this is the tragedy of it, is that people look at the level of the brutality and they really don't care anymore. I mean, they sort of say, you know, you've got to do it. The trouble with that is that the consequences can be very unpredictable. And of course, there's also a question of a managed transition. I mean, we're not really talking of regime change at the moment. We're really talking about the nature of regime collapse. And of course, regime collapse still needs something to replace it. So there's going to be, you know, there has to be some thinking about what happens, you know, after that. And I don't think actually enough thought has been put in that direction yet.
All right, we're going to leave that conversation there for now. But Ali Ansari, thank you for speaking to us.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.